Okay, everybody, we've got Daniel McCarthy. He's running for U.S. Senate representing Arizona here this year, and we're talking with him on Skype. He has recently made appearances at the state capitol and has been one of the speakers there in the demonstrations to reopen Arizona. So I'm not going to waste any time. We're going to let Mr. McCarthy tell us about himself. Mr. McCarthy, thank you for joining us. My name is Dustin. I don't know if I took the time to introduce myself, but I'll be conducting the interview here with you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me very much.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege. I've never spoken with anybody who's going for the high office here of U.S. Senate. So thank you very much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about you. How did you end up deciding to go into politics? Is this your first run?
For a major seat, I've been involved with different things in terms of boards and nonprofit boards and for-profit stuff. I mean, I've been involved with some community boards. My background in terms of politics is I've been an activist from the standpoint that if I find a politician as a donor, I try to work with them. If I find good people, I've been involved with the broken party. I call it the broken Republican Party for a while, but. I've been living the American dream. My family is literally living the American dream. I have multiple businesses. I've been involved with a lot of different things from a business perspective as a CEO. I've ran multiple companies for the last 10 years, from anywhere from cosmetics to real estate. I have a brand, that a lot of women may be familiar with Makeup Eraser. That's a global cosmetics brand. And, my family, I have four kids, age ranges of 16 down to 10, and I have a wife that I am privileged to have and kids that I'm privileged to raise. And I just got to the point where with this race in particular, I was looking for someone to run this race as a donor, and it kind of backfired because all those people said, hey, man, we think you should do it. And the next thing you know, it kind of compounded and this country has given me everything. This country has given my family everything, and this is the least I can do to give back. But we cannot lose this Senate seat in Arizona. It's too important to lose.
Right. So who's currently so we have two senators currently. Who are they?
Yep. Well, this is where it's interesting. Kyrsten Sinema is the in 2018, Kyrsten Sinema beat Martha McSally. Martha then was appointed after John McCain died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where it's really interesting is that Martha was appointed temporarily after John Kyle was appointed temporarily, because there was this little bit of a grace period where the governor appointed John Kyle, and then John Kyle said, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. It's like a banana republic, okay? I said, okay, I can't stand to watch this. It's almost like they're trying to lose the Senate seat, okay? So Martha is currently in the seat by appointment. So this is a special election. The election is in the primary. The Republican primary is August 4th. Whoever wins August 4th between Martha and myself, it's just her and I on the ballot. Whoever wins in August then advances on to the general election in November against the Marxist on the left. I'm excited to beat him up very, very much.
Oh, the astronaut guy?
Yes. I call him Marxist Kelly.
Yeah, Marxist Kelly. Yeah, I remember seeing that. The astronaut guy. So he's running. So he's gets a lot of publicity for just being an astronaut. He's like free publicity.
He is the Democrat Party's guinea pig. He has been invested in for the last 10 years doing speaking engagements, lining his pockets up to set him up for this run to turn Arizona royal blue. And that's why I had to get involved. I couldn't stand to watch them run this playbook on Arizona like they did in Colorado, like they did in California. They did this same thing in other states. I couldn't stand to watch it. So I had to take matters into our own hands here.
All right. So what are you doing now? I know you're running for office right now. What's happening in your day-to-day besides campaigning? Obviously, this is partly campaigning, is when you're showing up at these rallies, right? You're going to these rallies, you're letting people know that you're campaigning, but you're doing a dual service. You're out there letting people know you're running for office, but you're also talking to people about opening Arizona. Is that right?
Yes. So immediately, I'll go back to the beginning of the campaign.
Okay.
One of the major reasons why I got into this race was because Martha came out and said she supported the governor's stances on gun confiscation measures. Okay. These are called red flag laws. Are you familiar with these red flag laws? Okay. Right. So when Martha did that, what she basically did was is said, look, the only way that we can really beat this guy is by logically talking about the firearm debate.
Back up real quick, because we've got listeners who are international who aren't familiar with the gun. So red flag laws for somebody who doesn't.
Okay, so Arizona is the home of Tombstone, okay? If you're not familiar with Tombstone, okay, so Arizona is the gun rights capital of the United States. We like our gun rights here. We do not want the government infringing on our gun rights, okay? We do not want the government telling us who can own a gun, when they can own a gun. It's just – this is Arizona, okay? Right. A lot of us are here for that reason. Well, Martha came out and said she supports these type of laws, these red flag laws. So I said, okay, well, we have to fight this. The reason I'm telling you this is because I don't know if you go back, if you look – I started going to board of supervisors meetings, council meetings. We just started to go to work, because the way I looked at it was, is the best way I can demonstrate to you guys how I'm going to be as a senator is showing you how I work day by day. So we just went to work and started educating the public on what red flag laws were, how dangerous red flag laws are. And all of a sudden, we started to see the needle move, and we started to see people become aware, like, oh, my goodness. Arizona, Republican governor, why are they pushing for these type of gun laws? We would never expect that. Mm-hmm. So in Arizona, we basically killed any effort by the governor. And by the way, our Republican governor said he expects a red flag law on his desk this session. Nothing was done. I mean, we killed it, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, that was great. Well, then this whole, you know, scamdemic, Chinese flu, whatever you want to call it, you know, this all came up. So yet again, I've got to kind of demonstrate to your audience in Arizona that, hey, the best thing I can do is show you guys how I'm going to work. So what we're doing is we're putting a unique amount of pressure on the legislator to open up, reopenarizona.com. We started an online petition, collected about 7,000 signatures so far. And we're just putting a unique amount of pressure on the governor and on the state legislator to reopen our economy. This is crazy what's going on. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So you've gotten some slack in the media even before this. I love how you call it a scamdemic, because that's even better than a plandemic, you know, because the word on the street is it's a plandemic, but it's even more than that. It's a total scamdemic. And obviously a scam is well planned. But I was looking you up a little bit, and because to be honest, I'm not really into the politics thing, because, you know, it just seems like you're a breath of fresh air. You know what I mean? To hear somebody who's got your outlook is not what you're expecting to find somebody making their way. It seems like this is a special circumstance where you're able to get in. So you're the only person on the ballot besides McSally? Is that what her name is, or something?
Yeah. Martha. I call her Martha McSilent or Martha McKamikaze. She's actually designed to lose the race. She needs to get out of my way so we can unify the Republican Party. The right thing for her to do is resign and step out of the way. But that's a whole different story. So right. It's just Martha and I in August on the ballot. Yes.
But, you know, the media has already painted you in a bad light. I saw an article in Arizona Central.
Yes.
You know, and
Lori Roberts was the writer.
Yeah, I did. I was skimming through, but the headline was enough for me to see that they were trying to turn voters away from you. What is it that you're saying even before? Is it the guns? Is it the what is the thing that makes you not popular with the media, with the status quo?
Sure. So what I represent is everything that the communist Marxist can't stand, okay? Mm-hmm. Individual rights, individual freedoms, American exceptionalism, American self-sufficiency. I know how to bring the manufacturing back into this country. I know how to resurrect this revolution of manufacturing in the United States and self-sufficiency of the United States. That's not what they want. What they want is their agenda, which is, just so as everyone understands, their agenda is to crumble the economy from within. They want to make us so weak that we actually fail from within. And they're being successful, by the way. The propaganda that the media puts out, specifically in Arizona Central, it's designed to take guys like me and make us look bad. The nice thing is, though, is that No one cares. They're irrelevant. They mean nothing anymore. You know, as a matter of fact, I wear it as a badge of honor. Lori Roberts is a devout communist, as far as I'm concerned. And the woman, frankly, for her to use the soapbox the way she does, it's a compliment. It's a very much so.
So in other states, okay, I just want to jump because I've got some questions here. Again, everybody, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Daniel McCarthy. He is running for United States Senate. There's going to be an open seat in Arizona, and we want him to get in there. I want you to win. I'm gonna go vote. I haven't voted in a long time, but I like you, and I want to see you there. We're talking to him, and we're also – I wanted to ask you, Daniel – California, right? Like California, you mentioned this has happened to California. Decades ago, California was a pretty conservative state, and it's now become pretty much the communist state of California, you know?
It is.
So, but, you know, what's happened in the news very much recently is that they're testing people and quarantining people. What do you think about that? Have you heard about that in the news?
Yes, I think what's happening is very dangerous. I think the society is on edge. This is what the government is doing right now is so dangerous. And if we don't exhaust every legal option, if we don't exhaust every political pressure that we can, I'm concerned greatly for what's going to happen to our society. So what's going on in California, the big concern for me is this contract tracing that they're starting to do. Mm-hmm. This is something that they just announced in Arizona. They want to start hiring people to do as well. It's a complete infringement, by the way, on our basic constitutional rights. For anybody that passed an eighth grade history class, you know, our Fourth and Fifth Amendment cannot be violated just because of a sickness or of a virus. So these guys are literally systematically breaking down our constitutional rights, and it's imperative that we just bring our secret sauce back into our society. Our Constitution is a beautiful thing. If we follow it, it works, and it creates wealth like you've never seen before. It creates freedoms like you've never seen before. So the California is frankly on a very shaky ground right now, I think. I feel coincidentally, I just left a meeting before this right here. A guy bugged out from California, moved here, literally escaped California to Arizona because of what's going on over there. Like, I'm not exaggerating. He just left there. So it's really bad, and we need to fight back. We need to fight back quick.
Right. I mean, everybody's got to wear masks. There's clear statements even from the CDC that these masks are not helping and that they could be making matters worse, and yet you've got – corporations like Costco mandating that customers wear these masks, and it's not. And then you can be exempt if you have a medical issue because it could make that issue worse, which is it's absolute insanity. So there's, I like to talk about sheriffs, like the sheriff's power is as an elected official, and that it's very important that we communicate with our sheriffs, and because our sheriffs are the ones that they're like the last line to enforce any kind of mandate. But what do you think about these sheriffs that have publicly stated that they're not going to enforce these governors here in Arizona? I think there's two currently Arizona sheriffs that refuse to enforce the stay at home orders. What do you say to them?
I love them. I love them, and we need to celebrate them. We need to hold them in high regard and thank them. They are doing us such a great service by making that point. And I've done a lot in terms of behind the scenes, just trying to tell them how grateful we are for them. We need our sheriffs to absolutely stand up and against this because it is tyranny. And by the way, just so everyone understands, in Arizona specifically, but pretty much everywhere, when you take an oath as a law enforcement officer or as military personnel, you say you're going to fight against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, what makes a domestic enemy? If a domestic enemy is someone that systematically enters themselves into the government systems in order to systematically break it down, that's an enemy.
Right.
So the way I look at it is that when a sheriff is stepping up now in this critical time, they're actually living up to their oath, which we need all of them to do.
What about the Maricopa County Sheriff? Because I don't know. Like I said, I don't pay attention. What do you know about what do you want to go on the record and say about that?
Okay, well, my plea to Penzone would be to get out of the race and let one of the fine gentlemen on the Republican ticket take over that seat. Penzone has demonstrated, frankly, in my opinion, I know Penzone, and I can tell you that he is not the right guy for that job. He needs to go away.
So that office is now going to the electorate in the fall?
That's right. In the primary in August, there's a very important primary going on for that sheriff's race here in Arizona. And that primary, whoever propels past that primary, we need to make sure wins that general election in November. I can tell you that there's a couple guys. I know all the sheriffs running on the Republican side. I have my favorite, and I will tell you that I will leave that clip. I have my favorite. I think everyone else would probably agree with me as well, but that's okay.
So if you get on the ticket, would you endorse your favorite?
Absolutely. No. Yeah. Listen. Here's the thing. I'll tell you. I look forward to helping the sheriff on the Republican side win that office. We need to make sure we have a better sheriff in Maricopa County, which, by the way, is I think in land mass, it's one of the largest land mass counties in the country. It's, you know, so we need someone good in that seat.
So today in the Arizona State Capitol in Phoenix, they had a rally because the state Senate was going to a vote. And that is for the what is it, Sindia, I think it's called.
Sindai.
Sindai, I guess I'm pronouncing it my Latin.
That's okay.
Off.
That's okay.
Sindai. So what happened there? What's that about? People don't know what that is. Most people don't even know what's even happened. I don't even know if it's on the radio or in the news.
Okay, I'll make it really simple. Okay. The governor is right now exercising authority that he does not have. Okay? These executive orders are actually unconstitutional. So the state Senate and the state House were about to vote today on basically a sindai, which means they're ending session, they're not going to see any more bills, they're not going to do anything else for the rest of the year. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we started putting pressure on them saying, and I was down there, by the way, I was down there today. And I said, the long and short of it is, we need a bill put together by the way, a Republican held majority in the House and the Senate. So there's no excuses.
Right.
We should have a bill that states no longer in a state of emergency can the governor have these type of executive authorities, right? There should be safeguards in place that the governor has to come back to the state House and the state Senate before he can issue these type of executive orders. So, and right now the way it works is the governor says, executive order, you're going to jail for 6 months and you're getting fined $2,500 if you break my executive order. Well, he can't do that. So the state House last night at about 11 o'clock at night said, look, we don't have the votes. We're not going to vote for Sindai. So that was a big success last night. However, the Senate, full of the elitist Republicans, the fake Republicans, and all the Democrats. Wait till you see this footage I'm going to upload on Facebook, by the way. It's crazy. But these guys, they voted today for the Sindai, which basically means the Senate is saying they vote to end session today. Well, if they don't have the House's approval, then what happens is they have to come back and vote for that again pretty much every 3 days in order to continue to try to shut down the government or shut down the
So what kind of vote do they need to have to get past the House?
The House needs just a simple majority. So if a simple majority says that they want to end session for the year, they can end session. Well, our big problem with that is they're basically copping out of their responsibility, which is – they should be down there producing a bill that stops the governor from these tyrannical efforts. I mean, my God, how could anyone disagree with the idea that the governor should not be able to shut down our society for 2 months?
Right.
I mean, that's just crazy. So the thing is we put enough pressure on the House, I believe, and they did a good job. We had some good heroes step up and say they're not going to vote to end session. So now we got to keep pressure on the Arizona House, keep pressure on the Arizona Senate, and make sure they don't end session. They quit passing the buck and hold the governor responsible for what he's doing.
So what was the vote today in the Senate?
The vote today was they voted, believe it or not, to end the session. So they voted in favor of the
Senate. What was that majority? Was it overwhelming?
I can tell you. Well, it was. I believe it was 6 Republicans that crossed over. Let me tell you the exact number. I would love to tell you the names.
Because they seem to have a motivation to do that, which makes no sense. It's like these people who want to stay home and collect unemployment instead of go to work. It's kind of the same. It's kind of the same situation because they're basically guaranteed a paycheck even if they don't work. So
that's exactly right. They're copping out. Now think about this: all those bills that are sitting there on their desk that need to pass, right? These are important bills. Like we actually have one that we're working on with one of. This is crazy. They voted 24-6 to close the session down. So obviously, a lot of Republicans voted in favor of closing down the government, which I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I've watched politics my entire life. I have never seen anything enough for me to tell you that this is historic in nature. They are sparking a revolution, and everyone needs to calm down, and we need to pressure these people, put them back to work. It's a shame.
What do you say to people who their sentiment is that, hey, just, keep social distance, put a mask on, because you see them driving down the road, they're in a car by themselves. It's absurd, and I look at people and I'm wondering where their rational thinking capabilities lie in other situations. Like if they're it seems like it just feels good. I just write it all off for the most part as people who just want to look like they're doing their part to keep everybody healthy. Look at me. I'm keeping everybody healthy. I understand there's older people and people whose immune systems may be more compromised who, they're experiencing a little more fear. But then you get like these college students down at ASU and they're just cranking their bicycles like uphill wearing a mask. And you're like, what do you think of these people? Like there's a high number of the population who are in that crowd. What's up with that?
Well, here's what I can tell you. This morning I was fishing this morning, early in the morning, and a guy by himself was walking with his dog with a mask on, okay? Now, he doesn't know who I am. At least I hope he doesn't know who I am, because I immediately put down my fishing pole and I said, "Sir, take off the mask, please. Please take off the mask. This is crazy." And he goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Sir, do you understand the death rate, the mortality? This is it's a virus. This is every year we get viruses. What is this? I can't. It's like we're living in the Twilight Zone, okay?" So I'm getting to the point now where I talk to people about it. I tell them, take the mask off. You're free of the mask. It drives me insane. I think it's moronic. I think it's complete. It's idiotic.
Yeah, that should be your campaign slogan. Like, take off the mask.
Take off the mask. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Just take off the mask. A big old billboard right there off the 10 by the airport.
Right. I like it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Take off the mask. We're ready to take off the mask. So, all right. So you mentioned that this is a scandemic and that, Americans have never been able – let's get down to it, right? Nobody's been able to wage war upon America on American soil because we all have guns. Right. I've got enough for people who don't have guns. We all have enough for everybody. Right. So, and so I feel like they planned a long time ago, the communists, the globalists, the internationalists, those people who want to push this agenda so they can centralize their power globally. And we can invade Iraq. We can invade Afghanistan. There are certain areas that can be invaded by military force. But America, you're not going to bring Chinese or Soviet troops because it's on. All right. Sure. So they decided a long time ago they didn't want to even pretend like they were going to do that. So these interests, I believe, have been doing what you said, and that is inserting themselves into our society, whether it's just in the State House, the Capitol building, the White House, dare say, that this has been something that's been going on a long time. And it seems to be now rearing its head and manifesting itself in a way that we kind of expected, but I always expected it to be different. But it seems like it's this socialism or this where due process is set aside for dictatorial mandates. This seems to be the card they're playing, and I believe they're going to keep – it's like draw four, and then you draw four, and the next thing you know, it's like reverse, skip a turn, you know? Yeah. Do you believe they're going to what do you think their plan is? Do you think they're moving hard into this, or what's your take on that? I just kind of spurted some ideas out there.
No. I'm glad you said the things that you said, because it you covered the groundwork and the foundation. That's what's going on. And now it's a matter of saying, okay, is this a live drill, or is this something where it's going to just continue to evolve? I think, in my estimation, that there will be some situations that happen in some states. I think some states are going to have very uncomfortable conversations, and I think there's going to be things that happen in certain states that are going to be very uncomfortable for a lot of people, because we're not used to seeing these things in the United States. I also believe, in conjunction with that our best days are ahead. I think that in America, when we understand the war that we're in, you have the best human beings in the world's history working hard on making sure we win that war. And I think the sophistication of this war is so complex and it's so deep. And the more and more people that come into this war voluntarily, the faster we're going to win. But my estimation is that we're going to see some situations in certain states that are going to cause some concerns. We're probably going to see some things happen that lead to some there's probably going to be some violence. God willing, there's not. And I'm not. And by the way, the founders were beautiful in this country, because what they did was they exhausted all legal mechanisms possible. They did everything they possibly could. They exhausted every option before they came to the terms that this was not going to end without bloodshed. And God willing, we do not have bloodshed anywhere in America. But I know, just like you know, I would rather fight this fight than give it to my kids. And I will do whatever it takes to protect our individual rights. And by the way, Benjamin Franklin said this. This is one of my favorite quotes. It was almost on the seal of our country. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. That's and right. It doesn't matter. If those tyrants are inside of our government, it doesn't matter. We have an obligation to eradicate them from our society. I hate authoritarians. I hate people that need authority. It just, it's a pet peeve of mine. So I look forward to hopefully winning the right way by getting them all out of office and cleaning house. But
yeah, they're all a bunch of weaklings and cowards anyway, that type of person. Those people who put themselves in those types of positions, it's like they've got some kind of complex they're trying to overcompensate for. But if you call them out on it, they just they can't do anything about it if you just stand up and say no. Right.
That's right.
So I think that's important. I really appreciate the spirit that you have. That's something that we need to hear more of, because personally, I feel like I've been disheartened a lot, because those people who have the right attitude and they want to move up into positions of leadership like you are, but they don't seem to get the time of day, and nobody takes them seriously. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but like, for example, we had was it 2012? We had Ron Paul, who was focusing hard on the Constitution, and it seemed like he just got pushed aside, and Americans lost a lot of opportunity to defend a lot of the principles and to bring light to those issues. And so it's so many of those people who are walking around with these masks on, you know, that just I want to blame them, but we have to do our part before we have to exhaust our options before we start like blaming somebody or pointing something.
Well, that's I think what you just brought up is a very important part, though, that Ron Paul was cheated. Ron Paul tried to work inside of a game system that I'm currently working in. The difference is timing. Like in business, if you have really good timing, a lot of times, you know, and a lot of things, obviously, they're outside of our control. So we're working on God's time, and we're working on a timeline that we don't understand. And I love how you brought up Ron Paul, because Ron Paul was cheated. He was robbed, specifically here in Arizona. I mean, his delegates were robbed. He did a wonderful job. And I think that the difference now is just the timing. I think I feel a vacuum that wouldn't have existed 8 years ago, but now it does. So it's we're going to win. We're not letting go of another Senate seat. I want a seat at the table because I want to represent Arizona. I want to sit down with these people and explain to them that what they're doing is they've gone too far.
Right. So if you're just joining us, if you're looking at this later, we're talking with Daniel McCarthy. He is running for United States Senate, representing Arizona here. And, you know, he's got his ducks in a row, and he's standing for liberty. He's standing for the people. He's standing for the Constitution. What about everybody individually? What do you think people need to start doing? There's churches around the country, and even churches in Arizona that aren't you know, they're acquiescing for reasons. But then there's also businesses, right? So I know there's been – our state is really good compared to other states, right? New Jersey, Maryland, New York, those states, you know, people have had to stand up to be able to go to church. But there's, like, in Dallas, there was that salon owner who stood up and opened up. What do you think about people just taking it back themselves and individually? Do you think there needs to be, like, a domino effect or some kind of, like, a spark in the dry grass to get where people basically where they don't have enough police officers to go and cite everybody, and there's no courthouses open because they can't even cite anybody or give them court dates because they're overwhelmed. The hospitals aren't overwhelmed, but I think the police officers should be overwhelmed with people opening up businesses and getting back to it, going back to church.
Yes, you nailed it. We have to open. Everyone just open your business. The government is completely outside of their constitutional bounds. You have absolute right to open your establishment, stand up in the face of it. And if you face resistance, like you may, understand that the law is on your side. Truth is on your side. It'll pay off. I have a restaurant owner here in a small town in Arizona, Wickenburg, Arizona. She just sent me today the notice that she got from the city attorney. They hand delivered her the note saying that she violated the executive order. Okay. This woman is a saint, okay? I mean, literally a saint. This restaurant's all she has.
Is that the place with the bikers out in front? There's a place in Wickenburg, and I saw the photo how she basically sold out of everything right away. Is that what I remember hearing?
So she sold out of everything. She lines out the front door. It was crazy. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And then the city attorney comes and hand delivers a notice saying she violated an executive order. Now, that's not America. Mm-hmm. And to your point, the police officers and the law enforcement agencies, how long is it before they say, you know what, this job isn't worth that to me. I'm not doing that. I don't think it's too far behind now. You know, how long is it going to be before beef shortages in stores? We have meat shortages. Supply chains are breaking down. At some point, the law enforcement community is going to have to stand up and say, no, this is not something I'm willing to do. This is illegal what the government is doing. So I think the best thing we can all do is stand up, man, go back to work right away, right now, not tomorrow. Let's get going now.
Take off the mask.
Demand Daniel take off the mask.
Right. All right. So we're going to have to let you go. But is there anything that you want to say to our audience? You're a politician. What's your elevator pitch? What do you got for us, Mr. McCarthy?
I actually threw up in my mouth a little bit when you said politician.
Well, I don't mean it that way.
I get it.
I apologize. I recant.
I'm kidding. I'm getting used to it. The thing I'll tell you is that What I bring to you is an opportunity in Arizona that we haven't had in a long time. Barry Goldwater set a seal in terms of a bar of how a senator could be. I'm going to make that look like child's play. If you hire me as your senator, you are going to have the hardest working, the most determined senator you've ever seen. The reality of politics is this. I always tell people this when I get a chance. If you have a good marriage 95% of the time, but you cheat on your spouse 5% of the time, you don't have a good marriage, right?
Right.
If you're a good driver 95% of the time, but you get into an accident 5% of the time, you're not really a good driver, okay? A politician that's good 95% of the time, it's not a good politician. You need someone every single day, all day, consistently conservative on the Constitution and no bending from that. And that's what you have with me. 100% of the time, you will never have to wonder. And I look forward to, like I said, setting a new bar in Arizona. If you go to my website, demanddaniel.com, all my information's on there, of course. By the way, you're a fantastic interviewer. You do a great job. I hope you know. I mean, I'm telling you this because I do a lot of interviews, and you're doing a great job. So keep on doing what you're doing, because you ask good questions and you're a good listener. So thank you. But your audience, thank you guys very much. I look forward to serving and making Americans great again. Not America. Let's make Americans great again. Take off the mask.
Yeah. Very good. Hey, so I saw, you know that movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
are you going to pass out on that Senate floor filibustering if you have to?
And then I'm going to wake up the next day and do it again.
All right. Very good. Because that's what we need. All right. God bless you. Thank you very much for your
time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No worries. See you guys later.
Good night.